I thought we were in an old-fashioned hoedown there for a while, but that was great. Greetings to all of you today. Welcome to our services here at First Baptist, and looking forward to our day of fellowship and hearing Matthew tell us what we need to do to get ourselves in shape. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 through chapter 12, verse 2. I sort of did a last minute change on what I was preaching on. I decided since this is the Olympics, this would be a great opportunity to preach from this passage of Scripture. So I trust that God will bless it to our hearts today. Running the race. And would you stand with me as we read God's Word together? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. You may be seated. I don't know, those of you who hear me preach many times know that I'm a sports fan. I enjoy athletics. I grew up in school playing basketball and running track and football and so forth. So I've been enjoying some of the Olympic broadcasts and it's been a blessing, especially when my team wins. But one of the favorite metaphors used in the New Testament is the sports metaphor. So here in the scripture that we've read this morning, we find again how the author of Hebrews is comparing our Christian lives to a race. The wherefore in the beginning of this verse shows that the race is connected to the Faith Hall of Fame. Those great heroes of the faith that the writer mentions there in Hebrews chapter 11. And it tells us about the lives that they lived by faith for the glory of God. And so he is telling us in these verses that this race that we are all involved in is an important race. Remembering past races. Well, I'm sure that all of us at one time or another have been involved in some type of race. I thought about, we have some videos, 8mm movies that I took when my children were small, and I've got one with Judy in the first grade running a race. But I didn't have the technical ability to get it on the screen. But running races. And as I remembered some of the races that I ran, the one that is most indelibly, and I've told you about this before, my senior year in high school, spring of 1954, at the district track meet in Luders, Texas. And we were running the 180-yard low hurdles race, all right? I was the defending champion. And there was this other guy, redheaded, about the same height as I am. His last name was King. And he had the audacity to run in the low hurdles race to challenge me. And you know what happened? He beat me. And I still have trouble dealing with that to this day. You know, I lost that race, and it was just by inches. And I've relived that race and reran it many times. And if we had it again, I think I could beat him. But we are God's children, saved by the grace of God, and we are running in a race that we cannot afford to lose. Athletes train for years for a race. We're thinking about the Olympics. 4 years of training for a few minutes of the race. In a matter of seconds, it's all over. All of those years of preparation condensed down to a single moment of truth. Who's going to win? Who's going to get the gold medal? If an athlete is victorious, they have proven to themselves and to the spectators that the years of effort were not wasted. The life of a Christian is similar to that of an athlete. From the moment we're saved by the grace of God, we're in training. We're preparing to run a race. There's going to be setbacks, and there's going to be heartaches, and there's going to be defeats, and there's going to be times when we will be discouraged. But if we persevere and trust in our God, God will arrange a demonstration of our spiritual strength in one of life's many events. There will come that moment of truth for us when we have to lay our faith on the line. We have to run that race faithfully. It will be our moment of truth, the moment when we face our Goliath. The moment when we will show to the world the glory of God lived out through us. And yes, we have that small window of opportunity when we can run the race faithfully. I think this week many of you have joined with us in going to Chick-fil-A the last Wednesday. And many of you have probably seen the video of this young Chick-fil-A employee who is at the takeout window. And this guy, this jerk, comes up and begins to berate her and tell her how bad Chick-fil-A is and all of these things. And that young lady, with great grace and poise, ran her race faithfully. And hers was a true, faithful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when our time comes, as it did for that young lady, there may be, God may bring into our life many spectators as we demonstrate our faith and what God has done in our lives. This verse begins by pointing back to chapter 11, those great heroes of the faith. And then it says, we are running a race. And it says that we're finishing the race they started. Verses 39 and 40. And all these, those great heroes of the faith, have obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. You see, we're a team. They've already come onto the scene and gone. They've passed the baton on to someone else. Passing the baton. from one generation to the next. Where's my slide? Okay. Need my slide. There it is. Okay. Passing the baton. The old guy passing it to the young person. And that's what the Christian life is all about. The old guy is white-headed, bald-headed. I don't know anybody else like that. But he's just about finished his race. But he's got the baton. And that baton is the symbol of your faith. And he's passing the baton on to the young person so that they can continue the race. And this Christian race will continue to go on until Jesus comes again in the clouds of glory. We're finishing the race they started. As Christians, we have this race that is set before us. And every one of us, carrying that baton of our faith in Jesus Christ, want to pass it on to others. And we never know when God is going to bring into our lives that person to whom we want to pass that baton on to. We have today in our services Kathy Hahn. I've told you the story, but I think it'd be a whole lot better if you could hear it from her lips. When we were young missionaries over in Taiwan, had started our first church there, and I'm going to let Kathy come up and tell you the story.
Okay. Pastor Dale is very interesting. He just approached me this morning, and so I'm totally unprepared. It's so nice to hear him again. Many, many years ago, I was a little one, sit in the pew and listen to Pastor Dale speaking fluent Chinese, preaching in the congregation. It's just wonderful to listen to him again. Me too. I love Olympic too, so I've been stay late watching those TV shows, but try not to do that, but I'm just hooked on the TV just like everybody else running the race, and I'm very excited Pastor Dale is talking about running the race. He wants me to talk about as witnesses and as a testimony of how I received Jesus when I was really, really young. That was the year I was sick. My mom had pulled me out of school, and I can't go on to the school anymore, and I was home most of the time, running a low fever. But I was bored all the time, too, because well, my friend is not playing with me during the school. So I remember there was a day that my mom took me, because she is attending Pastor Dale's church regularly back then. And she took me and they just tell me to stay in the playground. Now, back those days, playgrounds are very, very rare. And Pastor Dale had that little playground. It was every kid's dream, and we all fight for the swing set and the slides and all that. But that day, I was there by myself. I had nobody fight or swim with me. So I got bored within 5 minutes. So I was wondering, what is the adult doing at upstairs? And he has his church, it's two-story. And then in the downstairs is other activities, but upstairs mostly is the worship center. So I got bored, so I decided to climb the stairs to find out what is the adult doing. I still remember vividly, and Pastor Dale was standing on the pulpit and preaching. He's tall, young, good-looking American, lots of black hair, dark hair. And he's at the center, and he's talking about Jesus. And I was just a little 7-year-old, climbing the stairs, and just started walking on at the hallway, just coming up. And then, all of a sudden, whatever he said just grabbed my heart. And he says, God has sent Jesus from the heaven to the earth for us. For people, ordinary people like us. And he is truly Son of God. I had never even touched a Bible in my whole life. And I kind of sit down at the pew. Somehow I got a copy of the book and I opened it. And a miracle had happened for that moment because I opened the page exactly as Pastor Dale was preaching. And it said, Jesus is the Son of the God. And I was reading that that verse, and all of a sudden, I don't know how to describe to you guys, what Pastor has said to a 7-year-old kid, a 6-7-year-old kid, all of a sudden make all the sense in the world. It was so clear to the point I actually, literally, kind of see the window had opened. Now, the building is tall ceiling, so there's a lot of windows. It's always bright, but I don't know why in that day, I felt there's a veil just opened. It was a torn. And then and there's a light opened up down the whole entire second floor. And I just believed it. And it was so exciting for a little girl like that. And I was enjoying and I was joyful. And I believe solely in that day the Holy Spirit had entered to my heart and teach me the truth. And the truth had opened my eyes. But I was so excited and I can't wait to share with my friend. When I got home, wait till my friend come back from the school. So I told them about this extraordinary experiences because I, you know, when you're 7, you normally don't want to tell your parents and you want to tell your best friend. And my friend heard the whole story. And she just turned her face and she said, Kathy, do you know you're not supposed to go to second floor? I said, oh, really, I'm not supposed to? And she just said, oh, you're so horrible. You better don't tell nobody. You're in big trouble. You're going to be grounded or something. I was like, oh, okay. I better keep the secret to myself. But Pastor Dale didn't realize this. That day, my life has changed 180. I have know the truth. I don't know how to explain this because this is so interesting. Now, I didn't grow up in a Christian school. Nobody ever tell me about Jesus. Now, my dad actually took me to temples. If Pastor knows, no, Taiwan has a lot of temple and Buddha things. It's regular if parents will take their children to the temple. I'm growing up like any other Chinese good red hot blood Chinese people family, worships ancestor and thinking that's the right thing to do. Okay, nobody ever tell me that's wrong because everybody, not just me, my friends, my relative, they all do the same thing, same practice. Okay, Jesus is a foreign concept. It's never ever happened. Okay, now, of course, since I changed, I didn't tell anybody. I have to tell you guys. It's amazing. All of a sudden, those tall, dark statue in the temple terrifies me. I don't know how to tell you guys. Holy Spirit had teach me from that moment on what's a lie, what's dark, what's true, what's not true. I come to the United States many years later and thinking, wow, what a blessed country. The children are taught and they was born and they know what's right and what's wrong. But there's a lot of children in my country and where I grow up and they have no idea. And we don't know. But even a little seed like that. Of course, everybody think, oh, after I turn, I change 180. I have Holy Spirit inside of me, but I still wait till I was 35, I was baptized. Because I don't have the environment to groom me. I don't have, my mom and my dad got caught up with the world and they got busy with their private career and they wanted to advance and do things. And so the whole family left the church and a 7-year-old cannot change that. But even a little seed like that, that Pastor Dale had planted many, many, many years ago, I don't think when I turn 35, I will be like, okay, I think I wanted to believe Jesus. No, it's that little seed that in me that protects me and help me what's right and what's wrong. And believe it or not, I know it. Even though nobody tell me and there's no Sunday school to tell me that no, you know, other than Jesus, all the religions actually false. Nobody tell me that. But I know it from that moment. I have trouble to bow down to the ancestor. I have trouble to go to the temple with my dad. as a 7-year-old, I was the rebellious one, you know, in the family. But I follow along with them, but I know in my heart, and that was wrong. That was very wrong. And thank you that I couldn't thank God more that He used Pastor Dale and Miss Barbara. They're such a wonderful couple. Come to a country that they're not familiar with, and they don't even speak the language with, and willing to sacrifice in that time and to really, I'm the beneficiary of that, their act of the kindnesses and then their obedience to God's calling. And I am one of it that you're seeing today, that I enjoy God's grace, and I cannot imagine the life without Him. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. I think that was worth it. So the baton, passing it on. We never know when we're going to have that opportunity to lead someone to the Lord, to teach them, to train them, to help them. It's such a blessing to know Kathy, and she's such a faithful, dedicated Christian now that God has brought her down through these years of life and using her to be a faithful witness for Him. Well, I've got to get back on track here on my sermon. So, the older generation passing the baton on to the young ones. Unless we have run a good race, taking the baton and finishing the race that they have started. And all of those Old Testament saints that we mentioned earlier, Abraham needs us, Noah needs us, David needs us, all of those Old Testament saints. They are, as Brother Robert has said, the cloud of witnesses that Paul is talking about. And we certainly don't believe that they have the ability to look down and watch us as we perform. That's not what this is talking about. But I believe that as we consider them and their testimony and the life that they live, that they should challenge and inspire us to run a good race today. I've been watching track and field has always been greatly fascinating to me, say, ever since my high school days. And this week I was watching the preliminary heats of the women's 100-meter dash. You've got a stadium full. I think that stadium will seat about 60 to 70,000 people. And you've got all of those people observing and watching these young women as they race. There's cheering in the stands. And you realize that the cheering in the stands are Abel and Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, David, and countless other saints we don't even know about or have time to talk about. Their lives and their testimonies are cheering us on, encouraging us to press forward toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. They are saying to us today, don't let us down. Win the race for us. Live a faithful Christian life for the Lord. And even though this passage primarily refers to those Old Testament saints, I believe that it could certainly include those countless Christians who have died as martyrs because of persecution over the last 2,000 years. It started with the 12 apostles. We all know that probably all but the apostle John died a martyr's death. Many were burned at the stake. Many were beaten to death. Many died and were starved to death in communist prisons. Their lives and testimonies should challenge us today. They started the race. We have taken the baton. We must finish the race. We must endure to the end. We can't afford to give up. we must not sell out our Lord. We must be faithful. Finish the race. Don't give up. This brings me to another story. All of my, you're going to think I wasn't a very good athlete, but my senior year, our mile relay team had won the blue ribbon at the district track meet. And between the regional track meet and the district meet, there was a meet at Abilene, Texas. No difference in the size of the school. All these big schools were there. And it was a warm-up meet for the regional track meet. And our coach, Coach Cotton, said, "We're going to run the mile relay down at Abilene." We knew that was going to end in disaster. We begged, we pleaded, but nothing would do any good. So he insisted, we're going to run. And so here's my little brother, Bill, Durwood Graham, Lewis Dodson, and the anchor leg run by none other than Dale Thornton. And just as we had predicted, those other teams were just running, leaving us far behind. Just long story short, when I got the baton on that last anchor leg, the other teams were already over on the far side of the track. And I can still remember, as I took that baton and running as hard as I could, as I made that second turn, there were some little boys sitting up on top of the wall. And they were laughing at me because I was so far behind. Because as I made that second turn, the other guys were already making the last turn, going down to the finish line. And I sort of felt like just running out into the shadows. But I finished the race. Of course, we didn't get a blue ribbon. But I ran the fastest time I'd ever run in the 440 that day. I finished the race. As Christians today, we face a daunting challenge in this world in which we live to be faithful and true Christians for the Lord. But as Christians, we too must finish the race. And very quickly, I'm going to have to kind of abbreviate this. The race described. Running this race is not easy. But it's simple. The author has given us three coaching tips that we need to remember to run this race for the Lord. First of all, it's a long race. It's a marathon. It's not something that we do in one day or one week or one month or one year even. But from the moment we believe in Jesus Christ until the day the Lord takes us home, we must continue to run this race and never give up. And the writer here, he says, run with patience, run with endurance, run with perseverance, never give up. Finish the race. Pass the baton on to others. And you hear us mention the Bateman family often. The Bateman's oldest son is John. He was a student at Taipei American School. And we lived in the city of Taichung in central Taiwan. And our children attended Morrison Academy, which was a school for missionary children. And came down to the track meet between Taipei American School, which is a lot bigger school, then Morrison, and then Morrison Academy. And it was at Taichung on the old campus. And John Bateman was running the full 40-yard dash. And at Morrison Academy, we had a family of six boys, the Dwight boys. And the second Dwight boy's name was Steve. Steve was fast. He always won the 440-yard dash. But John Bateman was running that race that day, and he had made up his mind, I'm going to beat that Dwight guy. I'm going to win this race. And so John ran. Y'all don't tell him I told this story. But John ran that race with all of his might. And he was leading in that race till 10 yards before he got to the finish line. And then he totally ran out of gas. His eyes rolled up in the top of his head and he just collapsed. He didn't finish the race. Well, that was just a race of no great consequence. But in this race that we're running as Christians, we need to run it with all of our heart and all of our might. And we need to train faithfully in order that we can be the faithful Christians that God wants us to be. I'm supposed to have another cartoon up there. Okay. Now, a strong body needs the right food and exercise. If we don't eat the proper food, we will eventually become physically sick. Lack of exercise will delay muscle growth. Soon our muscles will lose their elasticity, and even the smallest weights will become too heavy for our puny muscles to bear. Now, I've just described me. Okay? I've just described me. But this cartoon, that's what Brother Robert's going to look like in 6 months from now. Okay? But our physical life and the training we need to do to stay physically healthy mirrors our spiritual life. We must eat the right food, which is the Word of God, to give us spiritual energy. We must use this energy to exercise. The trials and pressures of life build and test our spiritual strength. The more we exercise, the more spiritual muscle we build. The greater the spiritual muscle, the greater the capacity to handle pressure, adversity, and prosperity. However, if we stop taking the right spiritual food, we will soon have no spiritual energy, and we will become spiritually sick. When this happens, we won't feel like exercising. Then if we stop exercising, our muscles will shrivel and lose all their flexibility. Before long, we will become inflexible, and the smallest adversities will become too much for our puny spiritual muscles to bear. So we need to put on the whole armor of God. We need to spend time in prayer. Paul said, bodily exercise profiteth little. There's some profit. But even more important is the spiritual exercise that we need. We should not carry unnecessary weight. There are many things in our life that weigh us down. This verse of Scripture, chapter 12, verse 1, says, laying aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And sometimes we have the weight of fear, the weight of greed, the weight of bitterness, perhaps the weight of hobbies or interests that take up too much of our time and hinder us from running the race for the Lord Jesus Christ like we should. And I could ask you if you have any of those things that hinder you, but if I ask you, then I've got to ask myself, and I'm afraid you'll go and talk to Barbara. And she will fill you in on my besetting sins. Besetting sins that continually plague us in our Christian lives. Worry or dishonesty, immorality, things that keep us from being the best that we can be for the Lord. So the Bible says, lay all of those things aside. And the last point, very quickly, we have a winning coach to help us run a winning race. Verse 2 said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. We know the spectators are in the stands, but we do not look to them for a winning strategy. We look to our coach. Verse 3 says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. Consider him. Consider the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ endured. He ran his race with perseverance, with endurance. He bore the cross because he loved us. He could have quit while in the Garden of Eden as he prayed there, and great sweat came down, as it were, great drops of blood, and he could have quit there. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He could have quit there in the garden. He could have quit when he was being tried before Pilate and his own people were crying out, crucify him, crucify him. Because he wouldn't quit until he had defeated sin and death and hell and the devil for us. He wouldn't quit. Jesus is with us in this race, looking unto Jesus. He lives in our heart. He strengthens us. He guides us. He blesses us. He started the race. He finished his race. And he empowers each and every one of us to finish that race for God's glory. Look to him. In conclusion, what's the prize? Most of us know that Michael Phelps has won more Olympic medals than any other athlete, and I guess more gold medals. And we've seen him take the stand, and others, as they take the stand holding up that medal, and as the Star Spangled Banner is played and the flags rise there, that's their moment of glory. That's their prize. But for us as God's children, we're running for a much greater prize. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Another verse where Paul uses a sports metaphor. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things, under control. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. The prize. The prize. One day when we stand before the Lord and we hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. And particularly in the track and field events at the Olympic Games, when an athlete has won the gold medal, they will typically get their country's flag and run around the track holding up that flag taking that victory lap. I had a cartoon for that, but the runner was inappropriately dressed, so I left it off. But we need to understand that for the athletes at the Olympic Games, it's a joyous occasion, a time of great victory, as they run slowly around the arena, proudly holding their country's flag. But this morning, I'm glad to tell you that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, He's the one that made this race possible. He was victorious at the cross. He died for you and for me, and then He was buried and rose again the third day by the power of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ didn't wait around for His victory lap. Instead, He headed back to heaven to prepare a place for us. But one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come in the clouds of glory, and there's going to be the trump of God that's going to sound, and the archangel is going to shout, and Jesus Christ will come in the clouds of glory. And then the Lord Jesus Christ will take His victory lap. He will come and catch all of His bride up into the clouds of glory. And we'll join Him in that great, long, eternal celebration of God's love and God's salvation and God's grace. And so, we're running a race. I know a lot of you here are young. And for you, life seems like it's going to take forever. But those of us who are already on the downhill run, we realize how short life is. And we have to echo the words of the Apostle Paul as he came to the end of his race. And he said, "I've fought a good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but unto all who have loved His appearing." That's what it's all about. That's what we're waiting for today. Running the race. And if you're here and you've never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not in the race. There is no crown of righteousness that the Lord can give you. But it's very simple. All you have to do is just cry out in your heart to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. Would you save me? I believe that Jesus died for me on the cross of Calvary. He bore my sins. Lord, will you save me?" And God loves you. Jesus loves you. He died for you. And so today, as Richard comes to lead us in our hymn of invitation, hymn number 400, you'll get your hymnals and turn to hymn number 400. Would you please stand with me? And before we sing, I want to pray for you. Father, you know every person here today. You know every heart. You know where we are in the race. You know if we've really blown it. Lord, help us to get up and keep on running. Running to the end. And Father, if there are those here today who do not know Jesus as their personal Savior, Lord, may your Holy Spirit convict them and draw them and help them to make that commitment of their lives to you as their personal Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.